Welcome to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention and to our keynote session. It's my pleasure now to introduce our keynote speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes, and then we will have a question and answer session for 20 minutes. And I'd like to introduce at this time Ann G. She's a grateful compulsive eater from the Metro Atlanta, Georgia area, and she's a member of two intergroups, the Metro of the Atlanta intergroup and the Ebony intergroup. And it's my pleasure to introduce Ann, who will now share her story with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy, for that great introduction and your service. My name is Ann G. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and a food addict, and I say the set-aside prayer before I get started. Higher power, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, the 12 steps, and especially you, so I may have an open mind and a new experience of all these things. Please let me see the truth. I'm just, like I said, I'm very grateful to be able to do service today. I will qualify. I've been in program 23 years. I just celebrated my 23rd anniversary on February the 14th. I've been abstinent and in recovery. I'm also a recovering diabetic, type 2 diabetic, and I'm just so very grateful. And my top weight was 230 pounds, and after that, I stopped weighing myself, so I could have been 250, 260, I'm not sure. I'll tell you how it was, what I did, and how it is now. And my story, I remember I was always a compulsive overeater, as far as I can remember. I did dangerous things to get food. I remember one time I jumped off the back of a truck. I'm a country girl. I lived in the country, and we always could ride on the back of the truck. And so I encouraged my sibling and my niece to get on the truck because we wanted to go to the store with my father and get food, get my jug of choice, which was sugar. And I remember I jumped off the highway because I didn't want to be found out by my father. So those are the dangerous things that I did for food. And another dangerous thing that I did, I could endure pain just to have my drug of choice. I was in junior high school, and they call it middle school now. And at that time, we sent off campus to get a dessert. And the assistant principal said, "You need to give me your food, otherwise I'm going to punish you." And in those days, the punishment was what they call a whipping. They didn't spank you, they whip you. So I wanted my food so bad, I was willing to endure that punishment. And so those are the kinds of things that I know from an early age that I was a compulsive overeater. And I, at my early age, I was sexually assaulted by my relatives, which caused a lot of problems. And I could say that's the reason for the illness. But as it said in the OA 12 and 12, the reason for the illness is unimportant. But it's a provable, workable method by which I can recover. And that was these steps. So I just think that when I came in, I had a family history of people dying very young from this disease. My parents died in their early 50s. My mother died from complications from diabetes, and a father from a stroke. So strokes, heart attacks, and diabetes riddled my family because of this disease of compulsive overeating. I did many things to stop this compulsive overeating. I dieted. I was on weight loss programs. I was on liquid diets. You name it, I did it. And I was around in my family, showing love, they show love with food. So I would go on to church on every Sunday, and I would come home and binge my head off. And one of my friends, who was my godmother, she said, I know a way that we can eat what we want and still lose weight. And so she introduced me to laxatives. She's not alive today. She died from colon cancer. But I am so grateful that God gave me another chance to recover. So I am so grateful for this program because I know what I was eating was killing me. I was killing myself with a knife, fork, and spoon. And that emotional pain of knowing that I was killing myself was overwhelming, but I still would not stop. I kept going. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in my early 20s. And at that time, I was taking 3 insulin injections a day. I was so ashamed. I just could not believe what had happened to my parents was happening to me. But I didn't do anything about it. I walked around with my blood sugars were 400, and I was so lethargic every day. All I could do was work. Sometimes I would go to sleep on the bus stops. That's just how bad diabetes is when it's out of control. I would have my young daughter, and I would be so tired, and I would put her in danger by falling out, going to sleep while she was walking around, and thank God that she knew not to get out of the house, but that was her. I would put her in danger by sleeping through everything. And my doctors wanted me to, they said, you are killing yourself. You're killing yourself with food. And I just couldn't stop. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know what it was what was eating me that was making me want to eat the way I was eating. I thought food was the answer, but it was not the answer. It was not a solution to my problems. The steps, the tradition, and the principles of the program was the answer to my problem. So I'm just grateful that I just can say that I've had 2 failed marriages. I married the first man that asked me to marry him because when I grew up, I was told fat girls don't get married. Fat girls don't have dates. And so I thought that they were telling the truth. And so when someone said they wanted to marry me, I thought, me? I said, yes. And that was just a big mistake in my life. And so I just went to church every Sunday, and I just didn't feel good about myself. I just felt that low self-esteem. I felt that fear of not being good enough. I felt that selfishness and restless and discontent. And when I thought about what did I need to do, I do not want to kill myself. I want to live. And I know that God, who's my higher power, gave me this program to recover. And when I found out about this program, I'd gone to one of the pay and ways and lost a lot of weight, but I couldn't keep it off. I was going back up to 200. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I'm an intelligent person. I have a good job. I have a degree. Why can't I stop eating? And so I got a job, which saved my life. I got a job at a mental health facility where I was the addiction counselor. I don't know why they gave me the job, but when I told the man that I was yo-yo dieting and I was losing and gaining weight, I guess he thought I qualified. So I got the job, and when I got that job, I was taking the clients to an AA meetings. I was taking them out in the community. I also had a group there at the facility, and I was taking them out. And in those days, a lot of the rooms of AA did a lot of smoking. I don't know what they do now. It was a lot of smoking, and I didn't want to be in that smoking room, so I went next door to the women's AA meeting where there was no smoking. And I met a person in that room. She is gone on now. She died from kidney cancer. But she introduced me to OA. I was telling her my problems. And she said, you should go to a meeting. And I said, a meeting? Is there such a thing as a meeting for people with eating problems or eating disorders? And she said, yes, there's an OA, you could go. And so I started to go into the meetings and I started to go into the convention with her, but I still wasn't convinced. I got a sponsor, but I was still eating. I thought, well, I lost weight, I don't really need a sponsor. But anyway, I got one, but I was dieting with group support, just like I've heard in the rooms when you're not working the steps and you're just being on a diet. You're dieting with group support. So that's what I was doing. And when I went back to my doctor, he said, your weight is going back up. Your blood sugar is high. Your blood pressure is high. You have these gastrointestinal problems. All those problems from obesity that I was having. He said, you need to do something. So I went to the meeting and I said, I'm really going to get serious about getting in recovery. So when I went to a meeting, one Friday night, I met someone who wanted to work with me. She wanted to be my sponsor. And I asked her, and she said, yes, you need to follow instructions. If you want this recovery that I have, and this woman, she was younger than I, but she also had heart disease, and she had lost 200 pounds. So I said, wow, I really would like to have what she has. And so when I got in program, she said, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you the instructions. She gave me the instructions. She was very strict on her instructions as what she wanted me to do. I never followed those instructions. I was a person who was in, ate a lot. I wanted to have a quantity. I want to have large quantities of food. So when she said, you got to break it down to this amount of food, I said, wow, that is something that I don't think that I could do. And she also said, if you want it, you will do it. And she recommended me. She said, get you a nutritionist because you are a diabetic and your food plan need to be different from mine. So I went, I got a nutritionist. The nutritionist helped me come up with a food plan. I started working the steps. I started calling her early in the morning. Like she said, and even though I wasn't a morning person, I said, do I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and call you? I'm not a morning person. She said, that's okay. You need to do it if you want recovery. And so I said, I want recovery. And so I did what she said. I followed the instructions. I started going to the meetings and I started doing what she said do. I started to working the steps and, you know, going to meetings where there was traditions were being discussed. And so I'm just very grateful for that person in my life who was talking to me about recovery. So I started working these steps, like she said, and I started relying on my higher power. And for me, my higher power is God. And I always believed in God, but I never thought God was concerned enough about me, that he was concerned about my food, my emotions. He was concerned enough to know that I was sedating myself with excess food. And I thought, well, what does God have to do with it? He said, God has everything to do with it, because if you want recovery, you need to rely on your higher power, who is God. And so I realized that God does for me what I can't do for myself. But I realized that God was not going to wave a magic wand over me and make me stop eating. He required me to do some things, and he required me to work this program. In this program, it says it works if you work it. And I realized that I had to do the footwork. And I still realize that today, that I have to do the footwork. I have to show up. And how I show up is I make a plan for what I'm going to eat every day. I write it out. And when I first had my sponsor for the 10 years, I called in my plan of eating or what I was going to eat. And when I made a change, my sponsor wanted me to call her. She said, you just can't just eat. You have to make a plan. And when you change that plan, you call and let me know. And she said, you make 3 phone calls a day. You attend a meeting every day. And meetings was not so easily to go to when we were going to face-to-face meetings, because since I've been in Atlanta, the meetings were spread out so far apart. But when I first moved here, the first thing I did was find a meeting. And it was, some of the meetings was in dark areas because I was from Florida, and Florida had a streetlight on every corner. But in Georgia, it's these hills and winding roads, and meetings were far out. But I knew I needed a meeting. So I found the meeting that I went to. I went to the meeting at Greater Atlanta. Used to have an office, and I went to meetings at the office. And so I didn't like this Atlanta traffic, but I went anyway. So I'm grateful that I was able to find meetings and work this program. And as someone said, I worked it like my hair was on fire, because I wanted recovery. I wanted the emotional and spiritual and physical recovery that I have today. So I'm so grateful that I started working the steps. And I didn't start sponsoring right away, because I said, well, man, I do not know how to sponsor. But my sponsor said, as long as you have worked the steps, you can sponsor. So I started sponsoring. So I'm grateful today that I go to meetings today. I work my program. Like I said, I make a plan every day. I go to meetings. I do service work. And the service that I have given since I've been here in Atlanta, I have been the region rep for several years. I've been the chair for the Ebony Intergroup. I also was the PIPO rep for Atlanta, and now I think it was last year that I went to the African American Doctors Association, and I gave service by sharing my spirit, strength, and hope with African American doctors. And I also did some PIPO work when I was in Tampa, Florida. I went to the Black churches, and I help the PIPO person by telling my story, because a lot of people in my community had not heard about OA, which is still, a lot of people still haven't heard about it. But I'm grateful today that I have a sponsor who gives service. My sponsor been in the program over 35 years, and she does service. So service really has kept me in these rooms, and service is what I give back to what has so been graciously given to me. I'm just so grateful that I know that if I do not give away what I have, I will not be able to keep it. So I start my day every day with prayer, meditation. I make a plan for the day. I read the OA literature. I get on a meeting. I exercise. Because exercise is part of my action plan. I have to do some exercise, at least 30 minutes of exercise a day. And I am so very grateful for this program, because I know for a fact that God gave me this program to recover. Had not God given me this program today, I would not be alive today. I would not have lived another 23 years. The way I was going, I was killing myself with food. And that emotional pain was just overbearing. And I just kept doing the same thing over and over again, which is the definition of insanity. I was expecting something different to happen. But I know that nothing different will not happen unless I do something. And I have to trust my higher power, who is God, once I do the things that I do. So I'm grateful today that I show up for my recovery. I show up by working these steps. I show up by praying to my higher power and asking him to help me. So I've had so many things that happened in my life, so many tragedies. I had a nephew who was in his early 50s. We had his funeral on last Saturday. And he didn't have any known illnesses, but I'm sure he had some illnesses that we didn't know about. And I've lost many family members to this disease, but I continue to live the message. I can't tell them how to live their lives. I can't let them know, but if they ask me, what are you doing? You don't seem to be eating the same way we're eating. And you always getting on these meetings. What is that about? So I let them know. This is what it's about. It's about my recovery. Today, I want to live. I do not want to die. I remember when I was growing up, my mother died when I was 16. And when my daughter went off to college, I said, I want to be around for my daughter. I do not want her to go through life like I did without any parents. And I said, I need to do something. I want to live. And now not my daughter, she embraces my recovery. She said, she called and said, you on a meeting? I'll call you back. And when I go to her house, she says, I know you measure out everything you eat. So I'm measuring your meal out. So I'm just so grateful that I have that type of support and for my family. And I'm grateful that I have a God squad of people because I live this program. I do 1, 2, and 3 every day, and I live through 4 through 10. And I have a God squad of people who that I can call when I need to work 10 step, and I listen to 10 steps. So I'm just so very grateful that I give back, because when I came to this program, I felt like the jaywalker in the big book. I kept doing the same thing over and over again, and expecting something different to happen. But I'm grateful today that, as I said, I start with prayer and meditation. I work the steps. I get on at least 10 meetings a week. And since the pandemic, my meetings have been stepped up because I can get on Zoom. I'm meeting people from all over the world on these meetings. And I'm sponsoring people from all over the world. So I'm just very, very grateful for this meeting. I am just very grateful because it says in the big book, if I do not give back what has been given to me, I will not be able to keep it. And I'm grateful that this is a spiritual program, and I live this program, and I depend on my higher power, who is God. I have that relationship with my higher power that I didn't have before. Before, all I said was, give me this, give me that. I was like, it was like a Santa Claus list. But today, I have that spiritual connection with my higher power. And I'm just grateful to have that connection. Before, I had that connection with food, but now I don't. Only thing that I use food for today is nutrition for my body. Because I know that my body needs nutrition to run on. My food plan has changed throughout the years because as I get older, I don't need as much food as I need when I first started the program. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be able to give back. And I want to read something from the big book on giving service at the bottom of page 14. And it says, how appalling true for the alcoholic. For it is an alcoholic fail. If an alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice to others, he could not survive the certain trials of low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just that. And I'm just grateful that I know that I must work. And I would like to talk about some of the miracles of this program has given me. First of all, it has given me my life back today. It has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. Since I have been in program, I've been able to travel. I've traveled internationally. I've joined groups where I can exercise and do hiking, which I always wanted to do, but I just was out of breath when I was over 200. I couldn't do hiking. So I've been able to do that. I'm grateful today that I just came back a week ago from a trip to Hawaii. And I did 3 islands, and I was able to not be on a 10-hour flight. Before, I wouldn't have never did that. And so I'm just, thank you. And I am so grateful that I have all of these gift that I have gotten from this program. I was gotten a gift of life today. I'm so grateful that I have the gift to be able to know to give service. So I give service in the rooms and out the rooms. I still belong to my local church where I give service there as well. So I'm just grateful that God has given me this program today to recover. And I do things that I never thought I could have done. And I went to World Service in 2019. And I was able to, they started teaching me about Zoom even at World Service. Little did I know that I was going to have to use it. And so I'm grateful today that I was, before program, I would not do certain things because I would say, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. But now I know that this is a we program. And all I have to do is ask my fellows to help me. And people will help me. I've gotten on Zoom. I've helped to do the security at my local meetings. And I'm grateful we have started a meeting here in the greater Atlanta area, and where I live in the little town of Smyrna. And we don't have very many people, but I go out and our newcomers come. It's in a facility where it's a mental health facility. It's an inpatient facility. And I go and I help with that meeting, get it started, and talk to newcomers and try to make sure, trying to get people in there and share my experience, strength, and hope. So I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful today for the help that God has given me, because I started on this program taking 3 insulin injections a day. Today, I take no medication for diabetes. My A1C is 5.5, has been that way in the last 5 years. I don't take anything for high blood pressure. My cholesterol is normal. And my doctor said I'm in probably in better shape than she's in, and I'm in my 70s. So I'm just so grateful today for this program. This program has given me so many miracles. And because of that, I love to do service and share my experience, strength, and hope with others. So I'm just so grateful that God has done for me what I could never do for myself. And I'm just so grateful to be able to do service. So I thank you. I believe that my time probably is up. I thank you for allowing me to do service. I thank you for being part of my recovery. Thank you for 12-stepping me today. I love these conventions, and when I get off these conventions, I feel like that I've been to an OA revival. So thank you so much for allowing me to do service. And that, with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Ann. What does recovery mean to you?
What recovery means to me is that I am not anesthetizing myself today with food as I did in the past. When anything comes up in my life, I turn to my higher power, who is God, and turn to my fellows and use these steps to 12-step a problem. And recovery for me today means the happiness that I've never experienced before program, and being able to be happy, joyous, and free, and working these steps and using this program and not being on that roller coaster ride that I was on before program.
Thank you, Ann, for your service today. And thanks for talking about diabetes. How often do you revisit or go back to your nutritionist?
I have a nutritionist that I can call when I need to, but lately the doctor, under my insurance plan, the doctor let me see the nutritionist, because when I got in program, I was going to a nutritionist that dealt with food addictions. And since I've been in program, the amount of time that I've been in, I just go to a regular nutritionist. And when she says, you need to eat this or eat that, and I know that's not on my food plan, I just say, I don't eat that today. And I take the advice that she gives if it's within the boundaries of my food plan. I think I go by maybe say once a year.
Thank you. Specifically, how do you keep in fit spiritual condition?
Okay, that's a good question. How I keep in fit spiritual condition is by giving service, working these steps, doing service is the main way, giving away what I have, and reading literature, and going to meetings, and working with another compulsive overeater.
How long did it take you to become abstinent?
I think that what happened is when I first came in the program, I think I had the first time I really wanted to do this, the second time I really wanted to do this, I had a couple of slips along the way. But what my sponsor did was, she said, when you have a slip, it's not about the food. It's some emotional problem. It's something that's going on in your life that you need to work on. So when that sponsor gave me slip inventory, I don't know whether or not people remember the slip inventories, but I had to do the slip inventories. And once I did a couple of those slip inventories, I got abstinence and probably right away because I just looked at the fact that, I wanted a better life than what I had. And so it didn't take me long to do it.
And how do you manage your plan of eating when traveling?
Okay, that's a good one, because I just came back from Hawaii, and I probably had more food than I had clothes to wear. So I took, when I'm traveling, I make sure that I take things that's on my food plan. I check ahead of time. I just came back from Hawaii, so I took a lot of food with me that was on my food plan. And when I go to restaurants, I get the menu in advance, so I'll know what I can eat on the food plan. And I've noticed when I went to Hawaii, a lot of the food was more expensive when I specified what I wanted. I didn't just get the whole meal and I said, look, I want this without that on it, and I want that. So I'm very proactive when it comes to my food plan, and I'm very grateful that sponsor taught me is that I don't need to depend on other people to take care of me. I'm the person that needs to take care of myself. So I say, have recovery, have food, we'll travel. That is my motto.
How do you sponsor?
How do I sponsor? I sponsor using, here lately, I sponsor using all of the OA and material and the big book. So lately I've been using the green workbook to sponsor because it encompasses all of the materials, OA and AA. And I usually ask the person to meet with me, and I let you know, I give you my story and tell you how I sponsor. And I ask my sponsors, I set aside time for sponsees so that I can give everyone the amount of time that, you know, give you the time. So I ask people, set certain times for a person to call. You call, and if you're brand new in the program, I suggest that you call every day. If you are somebody who's been in the program for a long time and you just, want to be here two or three times a week. So I have a sponsor. I call her three times a week, and I sponsor other people, and I have certain times a day that they call, and they can call any time, and if I'm available, I will call them back.
Thank you. How do you cope with growing older?
How do I cope with growing older? Well, I concentrate on living today and not dying. Before OA, I concentrate on dying. Well, this is going to happen. My mom died in her 50s. I'm there. I probably am going to die, and this has happened. I just say I thank God for every day that I'm alive and well. And sometimes I feel like I'm more active than people that are that are younger than I. So I just thank God for every day that He gives me, and I'm living my life beyond my wildest dream, that I'm not just surviving today, that I'm living. And that's how I cope with it. Cause I know that you got two choices. If you don't get old, you're definitely going to die young. And so I'd rather to just cope with age than to die young, which I was doing before program.
And you mentioned PIPO, and there might be some people who just don't know what that is. So could you explain what that is?
Okay, it's professional outreach that you do out in the community. And what we did when the PIPO is, I've got the acronyms, but I can tell you what it's all about. You're doing work in the community to help carry the message. And what I did was here I was with the rep in Atlanta, and what I did was find ways to carry the message. Going out into community, participating in health fairs. I participated in health fairs. I participated in some of the doctors, the bariatric surgery conventions, and the way you do carry the message. And the carry message, you're passing out pamphlets, you're talking to people, and I don't concentrate on me, I concentrate on the program and letting people know about the program. Because if I concentrate on me, if I have a relapse, then person say, oh, it doesn't work because look at her, she relapsed. So I concentrate on the program. So I did a lot of work as far as that. And then we had a committee of people who would do service at the health fairs. And so finding just a ways to carry the message of OA.
Can you share a moment when you realized God was doing for you by alleviating your diabetes? Or, you know, a God moment. Can you just share one?
Well, I can share a moment that when I knew that I was abstinent and my blood sugar was going down. I had been working on that for years, of trying to get my blood sugars to go down, and they wouldn't, because they go down and up. It's just kind of like dieting. And when I got stable and started, was not afraid to go to the doctors, because before I was so afraid. It was to go to the doctor because I didn't want to hear what the doctor had to say. But when I felt that serenity of knowing that as long as I do what I need to do and work the footsteps, God would be able to keep me stable and well. And then once I started going to the doctor and I wasn't afraid anymore and I didn't have that fear and I had the serenity, then I know that God was doing for me what I always tried to do for myself and never could.
Have you ever had a time when you were resistant to program?
I think that when I first came in program before I got, I think I came in the rooms around the 90s, and you let you know that I didn't really start full recovery until 2000. So, yes, I felt like that I was resistant because I said, I'm not insane. What are those people talking about? I'm not insane. But when I read the definition of insanity, I said, yes, I am insane. But I didn't want to admit it. So I was in denial. So I think that as long as I stayed in denial, I could not work the program. Well, we know that you can't work step one as long as you're in denial. It's because I had to admit that I was powerless over food and my life definitely was unmanageable, because it's unmanageable because I was killing myself. I was committing suicide and I did not want to die. And I knew that it was what was eating me. That once I came in program, it was what was eating me that made me want to eat the way I was eating. It wasn't the food. The food was just I thought it was the problem, but I used food as a solution to the problem. But it wasn't the food. It was just knowing that if I wanted the recovery that other people had, I had to do what they were doing.
Thank you. What OA literature do you read daily? What are your daily readings?
Okay, my daily readings is the For Today, the Voices of Recovery, and the Big Book, and the OA 12 and 12. And there is also a workbook that goes with the Voices of Recovery and the For Today. So when I do my writings, my morning inventories, that is when my morning review, that's where I write. I do my writing out of those two books.
Thank you. Is there anything you could share about the specific things that you did to deal with the early sexual trauma in your recovery?
I just don't think that I really did. I've gotten spiritual counseling, but I think for a long time I hid it and I kept a secret, because in my family, secrets was what we did. We kept secrets. And they said, don't tell anybody what's going on in the household. You keep a secret. But when I started to sharing in the meetings, I started working the steps with my sponsor and getting spiritual counseling. I don't think that I've ever gone to a someone who was a professional therapist. I've never done it, but I've gotten spiritual counseling.
Thank you. Can you share your daily plan of action?
Okay, my daily plan of action is, like I said, I get up in the morning, I do prayer, meditation. I use my, let's see, where's my book? I use my booklet that I have they got one in Region 4 and Region 8. But I use this little booklet that tells me, I write my plan of eating out, I write out my gratitude list, I write something I like about myself, I do my daily writing, and in the evening I do my evening review, and my freedom from bondage prayer. And after I do that, I go to a meeting, I exercise, I make three phone calls a day because my sponsor, and I ask my sponsors to do the same thing, make three phone calls a day, because my sponsor say you eat three meals, make three phone calls every day. So I make three phone calls a day, and sometimes I get on a meeting with, on a phone call with people I may read the For Today or the Voices of Recovery and tell them what, you know, give some reflections on it. And I take my sponsor's call, and I go to other meetings, and I make sure that I put, one of the things that I have really helped me with my my abstinence is making sure that I have a plan of eating every day. And the way that encompasses, like right now, my lunch and my dinner is already ready, and I don't have to, I plan my food out, I write it out, I weigh it out, I measure it out. Now, when I go to a restaurant, I don't always do that, but I've been in program long enough to know what a portion size looked like. And when I was in Hawaii, I had a large portion, and what I do is up front, I get the takeout plate, and I get half of the food, and I put it in the takeout plate, and I eat half of the food. And so I just, you know, I know that it works for me, because if it doesn't, if I look at it and say, oh, I can, this is just one serving, I'll be fooling myself. So one of the things that I have to practice is honesty in my recovery.
When you sponsor someone and they keep struggling with relapse, do you have any tips for what you do with them, how to work with them?
Well, I usually, when I work with people and they continue to have relapse, I usually suggest, I don't tell them what to do. I suggest that you go back and work step one. Go on the OA website and go to work on, it's a document called Been Slipping and Sliding. I said, go and work that. You can discuss it with me and we could talk about it. And I've had people who went back and did that and they were successful. But then one of the things I say to them that was said to me, keep coming back. Don't leave before the miracle happens. Because when I came to the program, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. But everybody said to me, keep coming back. Don't leave before the miracle happens. And then I said to myself, why are they telling me to keep coming back? Because I'm not abstinent. They said, it's okay. Just keep coming back to the meetings. They say, if you keep coming back and you keep hearing the message and you keep trusting your higher power, eventually you will be able to do what you need to do. And it worked.
Can you share step work and actions you do deal with grief and death of loved ones? Have you, you know, because you've mentioned that you've lost family. So can you share anything specific about that?
Well, I can just say that I know that I have no control over what happens to people in my life. I can just say this program is not just a program to me, it's a way of life. And I live this program in front of my family and other people. And when grief happens, I mourn just like everybody else. I do writing. I can do Dear God letters. I reach out to my fellows. I get on meetings, and just where when they had my nephew's funeral last Saturday and I was in Hawaii, I got on a meeting and listened to the meeting and, you know, just get myself into the step work and talk to my higher power, who is God, and let him know I care about those people. I'm sad about them, but I can't do anything about how they choose to live their lives. But I just say that, you know, help me to be an example for my family by living the best that I can and being in recovery. But I'm sad, you know, I get sad about it because my nephew, he was one of the people who was, we just went on a vacation in September together. And I was very sad, and he died all of a sudden. He wasn't sick. He just passed away, and I'm assuming it was a heart attack. I never did find out what the autopsy report said, but I just miss him. But I just know that the best thing that I can do for those people is recover, recover, recover. And as long as I do that and talk to God, who's my higher power, and just say I miss him, and I have the memories of the things that we did together. And when I think about the memories that we had and the nice times that we had when we was in Myrtle Beach. And I just I laugh and says, oh, yes. And he'll say, why you got to go to another one of those meetings again? And I remember when I went to the store with my nephew and I said, you know, I don't eat out like that when I'm on vacation. I told him about what I do and he got his food and he started doing what I was doing and measuring it out and eating his healthy food. So I have those memories. So I'm just grateful.
Thank you so much, Ann, for your share.